26.
Her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord, and she automatically realized the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman realized soul, she was freed from the designations of the materialistic concept of life. Thus all material pains disappeared and she attained transcendental bliss. So this final section of chapter 33 describes the enlightenment or the attainment of perfection of Devahuti after following the instructions of Kapila Dev, and Kapila Dev has left and now she is following those instructions and she attains perfection by following these instructions. So first paragraph.
Previous verses state that Devaki was already conversant with the Atmosphere. It may be questioned why she was meditating. The explanation is that when one theoretically discusses the Absolute Truth, he becomes situated in the impersonal concept of the Absolute Truth. Similarly, when one seriously discusses the subject matter of the form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes situated in meditation on Him. If one has complete knowledge of the Supreme Lord, then knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically realized. The Absolute Truth is realized by the knower according to the three different angles of vision, namely impersonal Brahman, Lokalash, Supersoul, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is situated, therefore, in knowledge of the Supreme Personality, Supreme Person, this implies that one is already situated in the concept of Supersoul and impersonal Brahman.
So what are the points?
So we talked about the one stage we already realized the impersonal, and the other one was the super soul, localized Paramatma.
Any other points?
When one seriously discusses the subject matter, one is situated in meditation of.
So the ultimate realization of the Bhagavatam is to realize Bhagavan. And this Bhagavan realization, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So therefore, Devahuti, because she has understood the essence of Lord Kapila's teachings, and the essence of Lord Kapila's teachings is that one must practice Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga is the essence of Sankhya Yoga, as Lord Kapila Dev has explained. So therefore, one who dedicates oneself to following Bhakti Yoga will realize Bhagavan, will realize Krishna in his personal form, and is automatically Brahman realized. In other words, they realize Brahman, they realize spirit, that they are spirit and that Krishna is the Parabrahman, or the Supreme Spirit. So this is realized by the performance of Bhakti Yoga, by following the essential teachings of the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is automatically situated on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, in which one understands one's spiritual constitutional position, his eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is automatically attained, because Krishna is spirit, he is Brahman, he is the Parabrahman. So when you realize Krishna, then automatically you will realize yourself also as being Brahman. So everything is automatically attained by Bhagavan realization. This is the essential point of the Bhagavatam. There's no need to extraneously endeavor for something separate. We don't have to become Brahman realized. Automatically, by focusing on serving Krishna through devotion, by trying to understand Bhagavan realization, automatically you will realize your spiritual nature, your spiritual form, your swarup.
You said that the devotee realizes automatically in personal Brahman. Does he ever develop the dreams of Kavista Brahma Jyoti? And what happens in this in that state? Does he understand those things? I can understand being sitting on the ground with a platform and becoming aware of his spiritual nature. But does he develop a perception of the divinity?
Yes, but it's not separate from Krishna. In other words, whenever you see a picture of Krishna, Krishna has Brahma Jyoti around him. Just like you see the picture of Lord Kapila, he has Brahma Jyoti. So that's what it means for a devotee to realize Brahman. He understands the Brahma Jyoti is the impersonal feature of the Lord, is the Lord's Jyoti or light, spiritual light. So that is his perception of Brahma Jyoti. Not that he tries to understand it as something separate from Krishna, it's because it's not separate from Krishna. That's where the impersonalists, that's why they have incomplete knowledge, because they think it is separate from Krishna. It's not separate from Krishna. Krishna is the source of it. It is never separated from him. Krishna always is surrounded by Brahma Jyoti, by his own effulgence. He's always surrounded like that. So therefore that is the complete conception. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdite. You understand the absolute truth, not one segment of the absolute truth. Or an incomplete portion of the absolute truth. Ishopavishad says those who are blinded by the dazzling effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti could not see the face of the Lord because of their envy. So therefore they are lost in the effulgence of Krishna. A devotee can see Krishna face to face because he doesn't have any envy of Krishna. Nimatsaranam. He is devoid of envy of Krishna. Any other points?
Arjuna was also fully realized as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Param 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 Dham Uttam Paramama Purusham Shadatam Vidyam Aryayam. It was fully realized. It's only because of other people that they may not think that Krishna was his friend, so he wanted to make sure. That's why he asked him to see, show the universal form. Only for us, not for him.
So read the next paragraph, second paragraph. Prabhu, do you want to read the second?
In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. This means that unless one is free from material entanglement and situated in Brahman, there is no question of entering into the understanding of devotional service or engaging in Krishna consciousness. One who is engaged in devotional service to Krishna is understood to be already realized in the Brahman concept of that, because transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead includes knowledge of Brahman. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratisthaham. The concept of the personality of Godhead does not depend on Brahman. The Vishnu Purana also confirms that one who has taken shelter of all auspicious supreme Lord is already situated in the understanding of Brahman. In other words, one who is a Vaishnava is already a Brahman.
Some of the points here.
In devotional service, include devotional service to realize Bhagavan must be on Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, otherwise he can't perform pure devotional service. He must be free from bodily conception of God.
Mm-hmm. Any other points? So Prabhupada mentions, unless one is free from material entanglement, this means to realize oneself as Brahman. You must realize, or you must free yourself from material entanglement. And then Prabhupada says, then you can enter into Krishna consciousness. You can enter into pure devotional service. Because what holds us back from fully surrendering to Krishna is anattas. Anattas means unwanted material attachments. So one must free oneself from material entanglement. One must become desireless on the material platform and only desire to serve Krishna. This is the way to purify oneself. So devotional service cannot be done properly unless one is fully free from the effects of the modes of material nature. If one is affected by the modes of nature too much, or if one is affected by the modes of material nature at all, then one cannot render pure devotional service to Krishna. So therefore, one must free oneself, and that is called Brahman realization. Aham Brahmasmi. I am spirit. And when one realizes that, then one can perform pure devotional service to Krishna. As long as one identifies with the material body, as long as one has material attachments, as long as one is affected by the three modes of material nature, one cannot fully surrender to Krishna. So this is the import or the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Can I ask one question? Yeah. If one is situated at such level where he is not affected by the material modes of nature, does that situation continue for the whole life long, or he may fall down?
That means if one becomes liberated, then one does not fall down. Now, if one is liberated as a devotee, in other words, if one realizes one's constitutional position, attains the level of bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, then one does not fall down to the material platform. An impersonalist can fall down, but a devotee cannot fall down. If he's a pure devotee cannot fall down. From a sakti, you can know your swarup.
So we are liberated,
and
even
though you are
and
Swarup,
only
on
prema person will not fall down.
Yeah.
So even if it's
like
someone liberated, he can fall down.
Yeah, so prema means fully liberated. Sandrananda Visheshatma. That means full Krishna consciousness. There's a chance of falling down from bhava like that. Although generally it doesn't happen. Any other points?
Bharat Maharaj was basically in the power station.
Yeah, he fell down. So that's a rare exception. But that shows that even from the platform of Bhava, one can fall down. Okay. But that's rare. Generally, that does not happen.
I was just hearing the class by His Holiness Ismail Swami. He said that Bharat Maharaj's bhakti was predominated by Aishwarya.
By?
Aishwarya. So basically Bhava stage was a Aishwarya Madhuri Bhava stage. Says if the Bhava is predominated by Madhuriya, like if one is situated on a platform, the relationship with Krishna and Goloka Vrindavana, there's no question of thought on the Bhava stage. So it was just analyzing the whole time.
Interesting. Okay. So, read the next paragraph. Is it a Raja Prabhu? Okay.
Another significant point of this verse is that one has to observe the prescribed rules and regulations. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yuktaha Viharas. When one engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, he still has to eat, sleep, defend, and bend, because these are the necessities of the body. But he performs such activities in a regulated way. He has to eat Krishna prasad. He has to sleep according to regulated principles. The principle is to reduce the duration of the sleep and to reduce eating, taking only what is needed to keep the body fit. In short, the goal is spiritual advancement, not sense gratification. Similarly, sex life must be reduced. Sex life is meant only for begetting Krishna conscious children. Otherwise, there is no necessity for sex life. Nothing is prohibited, but everything is made yukta, regulated, with the higher purpose always in mind. By following all these rules and regulations of living, one becomes purified, and all these conceptions, due to ignorance, become nil. It is specifically mentioned here that the causes of material entanglement are completely vanquished.
So what are the points here?
Devotee may actually do the same activities as a karmi, but this is all in the service of Krishna, whereas the karmi is for his own satisfaction. Like eating, sleeping. We are doing pure prabhupada, we are taking Krishna prasadam. We are actually reducing, we are trying to regulate everything and use everything in Krishna's service. Even to have children, we are basically engaging. But having Krishna conscious children.
the second paragraph, you know, the discussion is about Brahma Buddha platform. And the third paragraph says how to attain to the Brahma Buddha platform. So when the devotee is conditioned, the only way he can attain to that platform is by following the regulated way of life. So we have got the Vaidya sadhana and we have got the Raga sadhana. So we just cannot come to the platform of Raga or spontaneous attraction to the Lord unless we follow the regulated path. We can completely purify. And once we are situated on the Brahma Buddha platform, then we can clearly perform the pure devotion.
So Srila Prabhupada mentions here that one has to eat, sleep, mate, and defend in a regulated way. And by this regulation, it will purify the mind. Mm-hmm. And one will attain a higher state of consciousness. But if there's no regulation in these activities, then one further increases his material entanglement. So that is the point of Vedic culture. Vedic culture means one lives in a regulated fashion. One must eat, but the eating must be regulated. You can't eat whatever you feel like eating. You have to eat in a regulated fashion. You can only eat foods which are to be offered to Krishna. And Krishna says certain foods are prohibited. So those foods which are prohibited, we do not touch them. That is regulation. And we only eat food once it is offered to Krishna. That is called Krishna Prasad. We don't eat bhoga, because the bhogi is Krishna. It is not us. We are not the bhogi. All the bhoga is meant for Krishna. Even it is said that if one desires, or if one has some sort of desire, even before the food is offered to Krishna, if in the mind, if one is thinking, oh, this looks nice, I will enjoy this. After it is offered to Krishna, I will take it. Just like one devotee said to me this morning, that, are you coming for Devamrita Swami's Vyasa Puja on Saturday? And I said, I can't come, I'm on the farm. So then he said, I will save you some, and he mentioned a particular type of preparation that will be offered. Actually, that's not appropriate. It hasn't even been offered yet. So why are you already thinking of it? Right? How I will enjoy it. Right? That is called, we're thinking we are the bogi. And we think we are the bogi. The bogi is Krishna. We are the bhakta, not the bhakta. Bhakta is Krishna. We are the bhakta. We are the devotee. So therefore, one must regulate oneself. Sex life must be regulated. Eating, sleeping must be regulated. And Prabhupada points out in the purport, one must reduce eating and sleeping over time. Right? As time goes by, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, you must reduce your eating and sleeping. Prabhupada said it will require practice. It doesn't happen automatically. You have to gradually reduce these things. And then Prabhupada said in his final days, before he left this world, he said, long ago, I gave up mating and defending. And he said, now I've been praying to Krishna that I will give up eating and sleeping. And he said, now Krishna has granted my desire. No necessity to eat, nor to sleep. Just fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that is the way to become Krishna conscious. One has to regulate one's activities and gradually reduce, as time goes by, reduce one's materialistic activities and increase one's spiritual activities, increase one's hearing, increase one's chanting about Krishna.
Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yaktapsam Sarlok Maheshram. He declares what he is. He is the real Bhokta.
Yeah.
As we were just discussing.
The next.
The Sanskrit statement, Anartha Nivarti,
indicates that this body is anointed. We are spirit soul, and there was never any need of this material body. But because we wanted to enjoy the material body, we have this body through the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as we are re-established in our original position of servitorship to the Supreme Lord, we begin to forget the necessities of the body, and at last we forget the body.
No, that's good. So what are the points here? Any other points?
He establishes the original constitution, he has to take birth. When but a person will be getting in order of 40 was his original constitution.
At what level? It's called Asakti. Now, Rupa Goswami describes there are 9 levels of devotion. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava and Prema. So there's 9 levels of devotion. So the 7th level is called Asakti. That means attachment to Krishna. So at that level then one begins to realize his Swarup or his constitutional position in relationship to Krishna. So Prabhupada says in the purport, there is no need for a material body. We have to contemplate these teachings. We have to contemplate these facts. We have to meditate upon Lord Kapila's teachings. There is no need to have a material body. What is the need? The only reason we have a material body is because we desire to be separate from Krishna. As long as you desire to be separate from Krishna, then you have a material body. But when you have no desire to be separate from Krishna, then Krishna takes away your material body and gives you a spiritual form. So that is the goal. So, Prabhupada says, as we advance, we begin to forget the necessities of the body. That's a symbol of advancement. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending become less important to us. That means we're advancing. Not so much emphasis on eating and sleeping and mating and defending. The more we advance, then the more these necessities of the body they become, we forget them. We don't become so interested in them. And then finally, Prabhupada says, you forget the material body altogether. And just fully absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. And in this way, then you will be liberated. Krishna will take away your material body. And he will give you a spiritual form. We only have a material body if we desire to have one. If we have separate desires from Krishna. If there are no separate desires from Krishna, then Krishna will take away. There's no necessity for a material body anymore. Like that. Any points?
Ghosts don't have a material body. Are there anybody?
No, they have a material body, the subtle material body. They have a subtle body. So body is there, but it is subtle, it's not gross. It's not spirit.
So it implies the knowledge, false ego and...
mind, intelligence and false ego.
Those three are there for demigods.
Yeah, demigods and also Buddhas, ghost.
What happened to those three items when he is fully
elevated
to Krishna?
They become purified because the Atma or the soul, he has ego, but his ego is I am Krishna's servant. He has intelligence and he has mind, but they're purified and they're used in Krishna's service. Like that. So all of the material mind, the material intelligence, the material ego, they disappear.
So the instruction is gross and subtle.
Yeah. Everything, you purify yourself of all your contamination. Okay, I'll read the next paragraph. Mahaprabhu.
Sometimes in a dream, you get a particular type of body with which to work in the dream. I may dream that I am flying in the sky, or that I have gone into the forest or some unknown place. But as soon as I am awake, I forget all these bodies. Similarly, when one is Krishna conscious, fully devoted, he forgets all his changes of the body. We are always changing bodies, beginning at birth, from the womb of our mother, but when we are awakened to Krishna consciousness, we forget all these bodies. The bodily necessity becomes secondary, for the primary necessity is the engagement of the soul in real spiritual life. The activities of devotional service in full Krishna consciousness are the cause of our being situated in transcendence. The words Bhagavati, Atma, Sanshaya denote the personality of Godhead as the supreme soul, or the soul of everyone. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bijam Mam Sarbhutana. I am the seed of all entities. By taking shelter of the Supreme Being, by the process of devotional service, one becomes fully situated in the concept of personality of Godhead. As described by Kapila, Mad Guna Shruti Matreya. One who is fully Krishna conscious, situated in the personality of Godhead, is immediately saturated with love of God as soon as he hears about the transcendental quality.
Thank you. So what are the points there?
Mad Guna Shruti Matreya. One is fully Krishna conscious, situated, then the love of Godhead is fully saturated, fully absorbed. So how do you get it?
By hearing and chanting.
Yeah.
Any other points? Unless anyone's particularly just like, I'm okay. Everyone's okay. It's the last class for the year, so it doesn't matter. So, any other points? So, as Prabhupada says, devotional service situates us in transcendence. Because we identify with the material world because we're attached to the material world. Because our senses are engaged in the material world. So as long as we engage our senses in the material world, we can't transcend into the spiritual world. So therefore, devotional service situates us in transcendence. Because devotional service engages our senses in the service of Krishna, and Krishna is transcendental. So therefore, when you engage your senses in Krishna's service, then you transcend this material world. And when you engage them fully, uninterruptedly and unmotivatedly, purely in the service of Krishna, then you transcend the material world. You become situated in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha Dham. So we only engage in this world as long as our senses are engaged in this world. Right? As long as our senses are absorbed in the material energy. But as soon as we engage our senses fully in the spiritual world, in Krishna's service, then that service takes us into the spiritual world. So therefore, Narad Muni says, Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Rishite. One must engage one's senses in the service of Rishikesha. Sarva Upadhi, Piniyamuktam. All one's upadhis and one's bodily identifications, Paratvena, Niyamalam. Those things will be purified by devotional service. So, any points?
We were discussing this in the morning class today.
Yeah.
Very much similar.
Yeah, same point. Okay. Rossi, can you read the next paragraph?
The devotee was fully instructed by her son Kapilade on how to concentrate her mind on the Vishnu form in full detail. Following the instructions of her son in the matter of devotional service, she contemplated the form of the Lord within herself without devotional love. That is the perfection of common realization of the mystic yoga system of devotional service. At the ultimate issue, when one is fully absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Lord and meditates on Him constantly, that is the highest perfection. Bhagavad Gita confirms that one who is always absorbed in such a way is to consider to be the topmost yogi.
Yeah. That's one of the points.
After liberation, Bhakti Yoga starts, so we can see all the Srila Prabhupada realized she was meditating here and performing devotional service. Like Prabhupada Prasanatma, not Bhatir, Lada Tempera, Bhumis, then after Brahma Buddha, devotional service starts, so that everything stops and everything is void.
The last one, where it says that the topmost yogi is one who always meditates in the mind.
Last verse in the sixth chapter.
Yes,
okay. Yeah, that's true.
Can you?
Yeah.
Is it accurate to say that devotion starts from Brahmutra stage? Because devotions can start from any point, any moment.
Yeah, but it's a different level of devotional service.
Yeah.
It's a much, much higher level of devotional service.
In Brahmutra
stage. Yeah, much, much more advanced. Yeah. It's a very advanced level of devotional service. What we're performing now is sadhana. That's not bhava or prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti. Rupa Goswami says sadhana bhakti, then bhava bhakti, then prema bhakti. Like that. So, our bhakti, sadhana leads to sadhya. Sadhya means perfection.
Can it be raganuga?
Raganuga is an advanced type of sadhana. By advanced raganuga bhakti, then you can attain bhava or prema bhakti.
The Lord describes the different levels in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which says that the devotee who is absorbed in the constant thinking is the highest devotee. And the same point is the gopis of Vrindavan. And Manavi Swami was making the point that the gopis of Vrindavan are so absorbed that at their stage, actually remembering Krishna all the time becomes a nuisance to them because they can't feed their babies, they can't cook the bhoga, they can't basically milk the cows. So some of the gopis out of frustration talk to Krishna, "Krishna, go away. I just can't concentrate on basically other activities."
What is still they are doing?
So, as the Bhagavatam is revealing here, that thinking of Krishna is the highest perfection. Krishna says in the Gita, his final instruction is manmana bhava madbhakto. Manmana bhava means thinking of me always with loving devotion. So this is the topmost platform of Krishna consciousness. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness. This is prema bhakti. That one is always thinking of Krishna within himself. That is the final teaching of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu favored the Srimad Bhagavatam above all other scriptures, because it teaches this point that the highest perfection is to simply engage oneself in continuous remembrance of Krishna. Krishna Lila Smaranam. So this is, as Rupa Goswami describes, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That is the perfection of life. That is the governing instruction of all of our sadhana. So this leads to the highest level of realization of Krishna consciousness. And all this is achieved through the process which the Bhagavatam teaches, which is Harinam Anukirtanam. One must chant following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and by following their footsteps then we can come to this platform of pure devotional service.
How am I to understand that why did Lord Kapiladeva has instructed devotee to concentrate on Lord Vishnu or 400? Because if the devotee is not interested in 400, also he will be interested in 200 from just Lord Vishnu. What is that? What is that?
Not here.
Why did Devahuti, Kapiladeva,
instructed
Devahuti to meditate upon Lord Vishnu, or the forearm form of the Lord, as opposed to Krishna, the two-arm form, because she is a resident of Vaikuntha. So the residents of Vaikuntha, they meditate on Lord Narayan. Prabhupada mentions in a few more purports that she, after she left this world, when she became liberated, she went to Kapila, Vaikuntha.
Yes.
I mean, she attained the planet where Lord Kapila eternally resides in Vaikuntha, in that forearm form. So she attained that destination. That was her bhava. Her feeling towards the Lord was that she was a pure devotee. She had pure devotional prema for Kapila. So therefore, she achieved. That's what she achieved. Whereas the mood of worshipping Krishna in the two-arm form, that is spoken of further on in the Bhagavatam. In greater detail. It's already been mentioned at the beginning of the third canto, and also previous, but it will be entered into deeply later in the Bhagavatam. Okay. Any other points?
In Vaikuntha there is no prema, right?
No, it's prema. It's a different type of prema. It's prema which is governed by Aishwarya, as opposed to Madhurya. So it is prema.
Actually trying to preach to communism. I had one example today where I was trying to tell someone to chant. And the common thing I have noticed they come up with is the fact that, well, I'm always having God in my heart, I'm always remembering exactly the word. But they don't sort of tend to take up to chanting. We come to this point where we have God in our heart, not even Krishna for that matter, whoever it may be. This is basically I'm always remembering. So how do you reconcile that in terms of, you know, getting them to chant? I mean, obviously they are doing it, yes, they're doing the right thing by remembering Krishna specifically. But how do you reconcile where you can get them to chant in order to come to that stage where they can constantly think of Krishna in their heart?
Then they have to follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. So it means that one has to spiritual life begins, as Rupa Goswami teaches, from the platform of Guru Padashraya. One must accept it in spiritual master instruction, and it says one must take his shelter, then one must take Diksha Shiksha, then one must begin to follow in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas. These are the first instructions of Rupa Goswami. So if one does not accept the instructions of the Acharyas, then he will not follow. So they say, yes, they're remembering Krishna, and that is true, and that is perfection. But according to the Bhagavatam, the way to reach remembrance of Krishna, actual remembrance of Krishna, continuous remembrance, is through the process of Harinam Anukirtana. One must chant. So this is only accepted when you accept disciplic succession, parampara. So it means they're not accepting spiritual authority. Yeah, they're saying that they are the authority. So you just have to keep preaching to them, and somehow you have to somehow become inspired by Krishna in your heart to preach to them in such a way that they will change. Bring them to one of your programs, and in that sangha, in that association, they can become, get some realization. Any other point? Okay. So with that final Gokula Rani, can you read that?
About God, that means God is general term, yeah. There has to be some personality, otherwise you can't think of.
They just say these things. It's ultimately they're just trying to avoid surrendering.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Just they may have moral values, like, no, this,
yeah,
tendency to take truth, tendency to be helpful,
and free will soul, working hard. But this may be the tendency. They feel good about it and they think they're not in the act.
Yeah, they have some level of God consciousness. But if you want to go to the spiritual world, you have to accept the guru. You have to follow the previous acharyas. You can't get there by yourself. That's foolish. The conditioned soul is puffed up. The conditioned soul is thinking that he is able to attain Krishna independently. It's not possible.
Because we are conditioned, we are bound. Somebody has to unbound us.
Yeah. That's the process. What did you can hear?
The real purpose of all processes of the transcendental realization, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, is to arrive at the point of devotional service. If one endeavors simply to achieve knowledge of the absolute truth of the super soul but has no devotional service, he labors without gaining the real result. This is compared to beating the husk of the wheat after the grains have already been removed. Unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the ultimate goal, it is valueless simply to speculate or perform mystic yoga practice. In the Ashtanga yoga system, the seventh stage of perfection is dhyana. The dhyana is the third stage in devotional service. There are nine stages of devotional service. First is hearing, and then comes chanting, and then contemplative. By executing devotional service, therefore, one automatically becomes an expert jnana and an expert yogi. In other words, jnana and yoga are different preliminary stages of devotional service.
Hmm. So what are the points?
Unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is shramyavahi kevalam.
So it means that one of the important points in this section of the Bhagavatam is that the process of jnana yoga and jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, they are useless unless they are focused on reaching the ultimate goal of bhakti yoga. As has been explained previously, Kadama Muni was practicing ashtanga yoga, but as the acharyas point out, his practice of Ashtanga Yoga was actually based upon Bhakti Yoga. He was following like an Ashtanga process from an external point of view, but actually the motivation was Bhakti.
It's a ladder to Bhakti.
No, it's a ladder to Bhakti, but it was done with Bhakti. In other words, it's like an external process. Externally, he was doing Ashtanga. He was doing all the elements of Ashtanga. But within his heart, the motivation was bhakti, or devotion to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So that is the point, that unless one can follow externally, if one is attached or one is conditioned to being a yogi or to being a jnani, then he can follow that kind of path. But it has to be with bhakti within the heart. Then one attains the final goal. But if one practices the other processes and one becomes a yogi and follows Ashtanga very perfectly, or one becomes a great jnani, greatly learned personality, but if he doesn't have bhakti, then it's all useless. The endeavor is useless. He doesn't actually attain his goal. So therefore, Kapiladeva's teaching, one of the main points in this section of the Bhagavatam, is that without bhakti yoga, all of the endeavors are useless. Because Kapiladeva himself is a topmost jnani, most learned and realized sage, the Lord himself. He was taking the role of a great propounder of knowledge. And his father was a great yogi. But without bhakti, these things are useless. If one doesn't have bhakti, then what's the point? So the paths are not accepted as being perfect without devotional service. Actually, devotional service is the essence of Ashtanga Yoga. And that was Kapiladeva's final teaching to Devahuti. Just do devotional service and you'll attain perfection.
So can we say bhakti means love?
Yeah.
In Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, bhakti means devotion, prema means love. So prema bhakti means loving devotion.
So normally the gyanis focus on the Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads. So what we are saying is that the gyani whose path is tinted by bhakti, the king of it means he calls Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, that is the preferred scripture. Like you see, like the like personalities like Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur and Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, who were most learned personalities in Jiva Goswami, and we'll see when we study Madhurya Kalambini. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is another immensely learned personality. These are the most learned scholars. Jiva Goswami even to this day is considered the most learned scholar in modern history. So their learning is, you know, like incredible knowledge, incredible learning. But whenever they make a point in any of their scriptures, they favour quoting the Bhagavatam to support their point. You look all through the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, like Rupa Goswami continuously quotes the Bhagavatam, verse after verse after verse, to substantiate his point. And you will see in Madhurya Kalambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just draws verses and verses and verses from the Bhagavatam to substantiate their points. So the Bhagavatam is the topmost. It is the essence of the cream of the milk of the Vedas, or it is the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge, as Sukadeva Goswami explains in the beginning. It's the essence of the Vedas.
So how do we understand the great Acharyas like Ramanuja Acharya? Would he take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam? Would he took Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads and the other Puranas, the Vishnu Puranas and the other Puranas?
But the mood in their Sampradaya is different. Each of the principal Acharyas is explained that Ramanuj Acharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbaka Acharya and Madhvacharya, all of them had darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they went to Navadvipa. Each one had a darshan of Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said to them, he said that I will teach the complete knowledge, I will give the full essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I will give the complete understanding of Achinchabeda Veda Tattva. He said that you just teach this like partial knowledge, or like the knowledge which supports or leads to this, and I will teach everything. So they had this realization, they understood what Mahaprabhu would teach, but they were instructed by Mahaprabhu to teach a certain type of bhakti or a certain level of bhakti for their sampradaya, which is predominated by this particular mood. Because you'll see in South India predominantly the mood is Aishwarya, so therefore they were generally the acharyas of that area of India, whereas our acharyas come as direct followers of Mahaprabhu, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, coming from from the northern part of India, and generally the favoured mood is the worship of Radha and Krishna, like that. So it's a different mood like that. Okay. Situated in eternal trance and freed from illusion, impelled by the modes of material nature, she forgot her material body just as one forgets his different bodies in a dream. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that the forgetfulness of the body is only possible when one engages fully in pure devotional service. Then one can forget one's body. And then Srila Prabhupada points out in the second paragraph that a devotee merges in bliss. This is the nature of pure devotional service. One does not experience material miseries because one is so engaged in the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So that is the consciousness of the pure devotee. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Prasanatma means he's experiencing bliss, he's experiencing happiness. Therefore, na sochiti, na kankshiti. There is no misery on the material platform. So this is how to transcend the effects of the material energy. One just absorbs oneself in devotional service to Krishna, and by this process, then one is so situated in bliss that one does not experience anything lower. Param drishtva nivartate, the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. And we see in Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was just absorbed in Krishna consciousness, just in bliss of Krishna consciousness. That ecstatic prema emanated from his personality. And he did not experience any material misery because of being situated in that state of consciousness. Yeah, it does, but he's not at that point, he's not really speaking about that there, but it does mean that when you become a pure devotee, then when you become so absorbed in Krishna, then Krishna allows you to forget your material body also. You forget the material world. There's no need for the material world. My Prabhupada already said, he said, there's no need for a material body. There's no need. It's like Srila Prabhupada said, we need marriage as much as we need a material body. We don't need to be married. Because we think we're the body, we're male or female, pumsa sriya. Then because that maituni bal, or that binding factor, the hridaya grantim, right, binds the knot within the heart, and then we become attached like that. But we don't need a material body. Prabhupada says you do not need marriage. You need marriage as much as you need a material body. You don't need a material body. Prabhupada's already said that. So that's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Become absorbed in your spiritual body. You can only forget your material body when you become absorbed in your spiritual body, in your eternal service to Krishna.
Because Brahma Buddha was no source to the country, and somewhat special vocation, mother of him, mother of him. So, when the devotional service actually begins after the liberation, does that mean that one should accept the initiation and spiritual master only when one is into the liberated state?
No. Because none of us do that. So, how can it mean that?
But why this other one begins, so it is really not
bhakti,
isn't it?
It's really not what?
Why this sadhana begins actually before what is actually the liberated from the influence of the monks? So it is really not bhakti.
No, it's a type of bhakti, it's sadhana bhakti. Rupa Goswami defines in the beginning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he gives his definition of uttama bhakti. So sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti are all uttama bhakti. In sadhana bhakti, it means we have material desires. But if we do not act on those material desires, then that is considered to be uttama bhakti or pure devotion.
But it's impossible sometimes to act upon desires. Maybe we are regulated in desires, but it's impossible to not act upon desires. Because we are under the laws and we are going to be pushed by them, whether we want or not, like what Krishna said to Arjuna, whether you want, you will be pushed by the nature to act anyway. So.
No, that means it's already been explained here that for a devotee, we regulate the desires. Prabhupada said if you have a material body, then you have a desire to eat, to sleep, to mate, to defend. Right? So that desire is there. But if it's done in the regulated way, then it purifies the consciousness. The same activity which contaminates the consciousness purifies the consciousness when it's regulated in Krishna's service. Like that. So that's the. So it's all considered to be pure devotional service. And we said in previous classes, no one should put their pens or their fingers in one's mouth. It is all considered to be pure devotional service, but it's called sadhana bhakti. So what it means, it will lead to pure devotional service to bhava bhakti or prema bhakti, but it's not actually It's not advanced devotional service. It's devotional service in practice. Like that. It's practicing. It's imitation of the higher. Just like when we do deity worship, we're practicing to worship to worship Krishna as the eternal associates of Krishna and worship Krishna. Same activities, but ours is practice, whereas theirs is sadhya's perfection.
Because one of the qualities of sadhana is moksha and labhuta faith, whereby the devotee.
No, that's bhava bhakti. The qualities of sadhana bhakti are kleshagni and shubhada. Moksha lakuta krit and sadurlabha, they're the qualities of. One could not attain perfection unless one follows the instructions. That's the point. So the higher, those qualities are higher qualities. And the final qualities are?
Santananda, Visheshatma,
and Sri Krishna. They're the prema. That is the perfectional qualities. Okay. So our bhakti is just abhas. Abhas means it is a shadow. It's not actual. Vaishnava abhas. Right? It's like it's a shadow like that. It's not pure. Nam abhas. We're chanting Nam abhas. So the shadow. It is considered following. So therefore it is considered, if it's attentive, then it's considered following pure devotional service. But it's not pure chant. It's not should enough. Like that. Okay. Where are we up to?
28.
Okay. Her body was taken care of by the spiritual damsels created by her husband Kardama. And since she had no mental anxiety at that time, her body did not become thin. She appeared just like a fire surrounded by smoke. Because she was always absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, she was not aware that her hair was sometimes loosened or her garments were disarrayed. So Prabhupada points out in the purports that if one absorbs oneself in devotional service, Krishna will take care of the material body of the devotee. That's Krishna's business. We don't have to worry about that so much. You just serve Krishna. Krishna takes care of the material body. Yeah. Sometimes devotees, they become in anxiety. Oh, how will I do this? How will I do that? How will I maintain myself? How will my material body be maintained? You know, where will my necessities come from? But one who is a little advanced in Krishna consciousness or has faith in Krishna, he just serves Krishna, and he understands by serving Krishna all the material necessities get taken care of. The body is automatically taken care of. That's Krishna's business. You don't have to worry. This is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means surrender to Krishna. So surrender means accepting things which are favorable to Krishna consciousness and rejecting things which are unfavorable. Seeing Krishna as my maintainer and my protector, that is Sharanagati. Krishna is my maintainer. Krishna is my protector. Being humble and being a soul surrendered to Krishna. These are the six items of Sharanagati. So a devotee automatically has faith that Krishna will look after me. My material body, all the necessities, they will be met. Like that. Devotee doesn't have to have any anxiety. Devahuti was just absorbed in service and everything was going on. She didn't even realize it was going on. All her meals were being cooked, everything was being taken care of. You know, she never had any anxiety. My dear Vidura, by following the principles instructed by Kapila, Devahuti soon became liberated from material bondage and she achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Supersoul without difficulty. So the perfectional stage of life, as Prabhupada says in this purport, he says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides in the various Vaikuntha planets. When one is able to enter into the spiritual kingdom or into spiritual realization, one is automatically freed from material pains. So this is the perfectional stage, to enter into the Vaikuntha realm, to enter into Goloka Vrindavan. That is the perfection. So this is what the devotees are desiring and what they are aiming for. And by pure devotional service, then we get qualification to enter into Vrindavan. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, do not try to see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna will try to see you. Become selfless in your service to Krishna. Don't worry about yourself. Just worry about others. Just worry about preaching and giving Krishna consciousness to others, and automatically Mahaprabhu will take care of you. The palace where Devahuti achieved her perfection. My dear Vidura, is understood to be a most sacred spot. It is known all over the three worlds as Siddhapada. Dear Vidura, the material elements of her body have melted into the water and are now a flowing river, which is the most sacred of all rivers. Anyone who bathes in that river also attains perfection, and therefore all persons who desire perfection go and bathe there. My dear Vidura, the great sage Kapila, the personality of Godhead, left his father's hermitage with the permission of his mother and went towards the northeast. While he was passing in the northern direction, all the celestial denizens known as Charanas and Gandharvas as well as the Munis and the damsels of the heavenly planets, prayed and offered him all respects. The ocean offered him oblations and a place of resonance. So mentioned here, Prabhupada says in that purport that he headed first towards the Himalayas, and then he followed the course of the Ganga all the way to the ocean, to the Ganga Sagara, which is where the Bay of Bengal is, where Calcutta is, like below Calcutta, where the Ganges flows into the delta, where the Ganges flows into the ocean. At that place, Lord Kapila stayed, and he taught Sankhya Yoga, the Yoga of Perfection. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that he is still there even to this day. The Bhagavatam mentions he is still there even to this day. And perfect souls go and take his association. That sacred place.
What it means, the material elements of her body have melted into water and now flowing river.
Means that her body became a holy river. Like that. Just like Narottama Das Thakur, it says at the end of his pastimes. Literally. Like that. Narottama Das Thakur, at the end of his pastimes, his body just melted into the. It became liquid prema. Yeah, and just merged into the Padmavati, holy river. The body of the self-realized soul is spiritual. That's why we do not burn or cremate. Normally, when the Vaishnava passes away, we cremate the body. But when one is siddha, when one is perfect soul, like the sannyasis, right, like Srila Prabhupada and the Guru, then we put the body into samadhi, because that body has become fully purified. Because it's engaging in pure devotional service to Krishna.
Chinmaya
Devi.
Chinmaya Devi. It's called Chinmaya Devi. Spiritualized body.
Yeah. So the body has become spiritualized, so therefore it is placed into samadhi at that point. Like that. But the body of Devahuti just melted, became like liquid, and just melted and became a holy river, like that, a sacred river. Yeah, her soul went to Kapila Vaikuntha, and her material body became a holy river. Okay. Hmm. Even now, Kapila Muni is staying there in trance for the deliverance of the conditioned souls in the three worlds. And all the acharyas and great teachers of the system of Sankhya philosophy are worshipping him. My dear son, since you have inquired for me, I have answered. O sinless one, the descriptions of Kapila Dev and his mother and their activities are the purest of all pure discourses. The description of the dealings of Kapila Dev and his mother is very confidential. And anyone who hears or reads this narration becomes a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is carried by Garuda. And he thereafter enters into the abode of the Supreme Lord to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So by hearing these teachings of Sankhya Yoga, what is the result? By hearing these teachings of Sankhya Yoga, then one engages in devotional service. That is the whole point. Why did we just study all year? All this year we've just studied Sankhya Yoga, Kapila's teachings. Why did we study? Because the essence of Lord Kapila's teachings is that we should engage in devotional service. So this is why we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us and reminds us to fully engage in devotional service. And by engaging in devotional service, then we will attain the eternal realm of Goloka Vrindavan. So this is why we engage in devotional service. This is why we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam inspires us to become pure devotees. That is the message of the Bhagavatam. Become a pure devotee of Krishna. And then we will automatically be transferred to the spiritual world. So we'll stop here. Are there any final questions or comments?
This is a place from where the Lord Kapila Devi is still present.
Ganga Sagara.
Ganga Sagara.
Yeah.
Is it in Bangladesh?
Yeah, Bengal.
Very close to Kali.
Bengal, yeah.
They go by ship, take bath in Ganga Sagar in a particular day. Still, the ship goes in Kali.
Bengal, Bangladesh, like that whole area, you see where the Ganga flows. So, where it enters into the ocean, that place, that's where he is. Because when he left Devahuti, then he travelled to the Himalayas and then he followed the Ganges down. And then when he arrived at that place, he stayed at that place. And it is said that's where he is still residing.
So one who is a pure devotee can see the Lord there in the
Lord's body? Yeah, one who is pure can see. Just like Madhvacharya went to the Himalayas and he met Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is still residing in Bhadrika Ashram in the Himalayas.
We can't see,
but if you're a pure devotee, you can see. Madhvacharya learnt Srimad Bhagavatam directly from Vyasadeva in Bhadrika Ashram in the Himalayas. So if you can have pure devotion, then you can see Lord Kapila Dev. So next Monday night is the closed book exam at 7 o'clock in the theatre. And then on Tuesday night, we'll begin to study Madhurya Kadambini. Not the whole book. I'll go to like the fourth shower. Okay. I'll go to the point of Nishtha. And then you can study Ruchi and Asakti and you can study that yourself. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.